This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR Radio. Ollie and Simon here with you as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth and what's been trending. We'll get into Twitter news shortly to see the top five trending topics. Since I've been back off holiday, it probably wasn't until the second day I got home that I realised that I had a new neighbour.
Yeah.
And it was about 5 o'clock in the morning and I woke up to this.
Oh, brand new cockerel. Hello.
I thought, I like my neighbour a lot, but I was like, oh, you.
She's got chickens, hasn't she?
She's got chickens and I hate the chickens.
So she's decided to get a cock involved.
Do you remember the rat infestation in the roof?
Yep.
Which caused a fly infestation. I had to have the whole place fumigated, whole house.
Yep.
Because her chickens, smells of chicken shit the whole time. And then she's got the cheek to come round and go, do you want to buy some eggs?
Buy them, like, that is
two things here.
No.
Like, the first thing is, I had to pay hundreds of pounds to get my house fumigated. Second thing is, I wake up earlier than you. As if she can't work out that I'm going in there.
You're taking them, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am.
how many chickens you got? Like 5 or 6?
Yeah, but one died, so there's only about 3 to go.
3 to go? Died of what, natural cause? Did it go in your oven? Or?
yeah, that was Deirdre that I think. So, oh no, that was Audrey Hepburn that died.
Right.
Anyway.
So this cockerel, because it sounds quite idyllic, the idea of, you know, you wake up, cock-a-doodle, and you're like,
yeah,
oh.
But do you know what I mean? When we've been up all week doing early shows,
yeah.
And then it gets to the weekend, and you go, oh, brilliant, I'll have a lion, I'll have a few beers on the Friday night, and I'll have a lion on the Saturday, and at 5 o'clock in the morning it's going,
yeah.
That's going to make you angry.
Is it really loud? Like, genuinely loud?
Yeah, really loud, yeah. Pan forward to last Friday evening, we sat outside with my neighbour having a drink, and she's got a puppy Alsatian.
Uh-huh.
And
does it chase the chickens? Does it care about
them? She said to me, she said, oh, do you think I should let, I don't know what she called him, the new cock out?
Just cock. If I had a cock, I'd just call it cock. Where's that cock?
She goes, do you think it'll be all right with the dog? I didn't even hesitate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cocks and dogs. Yeah. Match made in heaven, that is.
Can you see where this is going?
Yeah.
Her really aggressive Alsatian.
So what happened?
So as soon as she let it out, the dog went for it, grabbed it. Yeah, got through the fence. Dog went round the other way and started running down the driveway.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's screaming, she runs off. And I have to be completely honest, a little bit of me...
Surely the dog's faster than the chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but the chicken managed to hide under a hedge, like down the driveway. And she's screaming, come and help. Mm. And a little bit of me's going... Do you know what I mean?
Is it the worst thing?
Is that the worst thing that's going to happen?
Go on, dog.
Because it's Saturday. It's Friday tonight.
Yeah.
I do want a lion tomorrow morning. it's the last thing. The last time it was seen was walking towards the main road. It hasn't come home.
You're saying?
But the best thing is that the neighbours on the other side of the property got back. They don't know that there's chickens at ours, right?
Mm.
So they pull into the driveway, see Anna walking down, don't really know her, and they get out the car, and Anna's there, and she's in, like, because she's a vet, she's in her, like, well, a veterinary nurse, she's in, like, a full green overall, but she's taken all the name badge and stuff on,
right.
So it does look like she's escaped from somewhere. And
right.
They go, oh, can we help you? And she's going, I've lost my cock.
Oh, no.
She's just walking around going, I've lost my cock.
Yeah.
And this woman's just stood there going, what?
And we still haven't seen it
since. I can't find my cock anywhere.
We still haven't seen the cockerel since.
It hasn't come home.
I mean, it's too good to be true that the last time you saw it, it was crossing a road. I mean, let's not veer off the fact that we've stumbled across what is the start of most jokes. It's wonderful.
I don't think it's, you know, it's traffic awareness was that strong.
No.
It hasn't come home.
Over the weekend, it was my mum's birthday. On the same day as the princess being born, actually, which was, I guess, nice. People seem to like that, don't they? They like, you know, Mum's not particularly like into all the royal stuff, but she's like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, well, there princess was that, being born. Or...
There was that video of William driving up to the hospital and going and unbuckling George out of the car and walking in. And every girl everywhere is going, oh my God, do you see him driving his own car, picking his son up? Yeah. There's dads everywhere going, for fuck's sake, I literally do that every... I drive a car. I pick my little shit up every day.
I know.
And they're all going,
well done.
Do you see him carrying him into the
hospital? What a modern man.
It's just like, he's literally done nothing.
I know. Don't get me started on that stuff. But yeah, so that happened on Saturday. We went, four of us went out for a meal, me, my sister, my mum and dad. And on the way back, we decided to get a couple more beers in and just play some board games. We're a big board gaming family.
I know. We like
a few tipples and a board game.
I'm well aware of Christmas at the Alexanders.
I know. So we... Well, you know, actually a few shows ago we were talking about those bizarre, you know, when you have to nip to the shop and you just buy the most random pair of items, like I'm just going to pop in for some asparagus and some dishcloths. Darling, can you just nip to the shop? We've run out of cucumbers and can you pick me up some tampons, please? Like, just, you know, those random combinations.
I still get so embarrassed buying tampons.
Well, do you do that thing where you can't just buy Loo Roll by itself? You have to buy a few other things.
Well, I would have to put a loaf of bread over the tampons in the basket.
Would you?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I remember when my ex-girlfriend would be like, oh, just get me some time. I'd be like, no. I'd be like, please. And she's like, are you... But you can't joke about that, can you?
No, of course.
She's like,
no.
I'm on my period.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't...
No, what?
You can't,
right.
go, you no,
can't
get
say no.
No, you can't, can you? Because you're scot-free.
Of course.
I'm having a great time. My body's not... I'm not bleeding.
Oh, God.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not. Like, I'm fine. I've got no pains.
No.
I'm not getting clumsy. I'm not sweaty all the time. I'm fine. Yet she's going, get us some tampons. I'm going, oh, come.
Do
please
I have
don't
to?
Let me do it. Please. No. Like, and there's that look, and you're out the door, and you get to the supermarket, you think, right, I'm going to get a loaf of bread and disguise it, and I have to put these under.
Do you really feel that self-conscious?
I do. It's silly, isn't it?
That is silly. It is ridiculous. Anyway, my dad didn't have to get that, but we nipped in there, and he came out of the shop. This is the weirdest combination of all. He came out with Belgian beer and a fuchsia. a 6-foot potted fuchsia. Like, with earth in a pot with a cane.
I mean,
it was as tall as him.
If ever.
And he came out, and Mum was like, "What are you going to put? Where are we going to put that? We can't fit that in the car." So we walked home with it. It's like 11 o'clock at night, and he just walked home with a fuchsia over his shoulder.
If ever there was an impulse purchase.
Oh, it was the biggest. He was just like, on his way out, just picked up the fuchsia and just went, perfect, great. I love a fuchsia.
Was it like at the petrol station, it would go, spend £30 on fuel and get a free 6-foot fuchsia?
Buy 2 bottles of Belgian beer and get your 6-foot fuchsia free. It's just absolutely ridiculous. There's a wall at the top of our house as well that you can't quite see people over, but we could just see the fuchsia coming. You just see the top of the fuchsia bobbing along. It's just like... Wow, Dad, that is a big moment, that.
We will find out what's been trending across the world. You can probably work out a few of them and a couple of surprises in there. Twitter news and Seb, our newsreader, is on the way next.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head. She acts like summer and walks like rain. Reminds me that there's a time to change. Turn of a stay on the moon. She listens like spring and she talks like June. Hey, hey, hey. Well, tell me, did you sail across the sun? Did you make it to the Milky Way to see the lights all faded and that heaven is overrated? Tell me, did you fall from a shooting star? While you were looking for yourself out there.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here. And time to get into Twitter news. We're joined by a good friend and newsreader, Seb Noble. Trending worldwide over the last 7 days.
I'm just getting really engrossed in it.
Slow news week, eh?
Yeah, starting with hashtag Edstone.
This isn't something I was really that aware of until you pointed it out just before we're doing this.
This is the thing Ed Miliband has tried to do to liven up what has been an incredibly dull election campaign. Even people like me who are interested in
what the overall.
It's been so boring.
Really? I'm not saying.
What are you looking for? Scandal? You're looking for like.
I'm looking for somebody to throw a few punches
bigot.
About.
She was a bigot.
I'm throwing for a few bigots, a few punches, and a few
eggs.
You know, scandals. Yeah, eggs all
face.
That kind of thing.
I'm not saying that the 7 foot stone that he's created is bad.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah, just in case somebody hasn't seen this, what he's done basically, it's like a huge gravestone where he has sort of carved into it what he would do if he was prime minister or his pledges, and his idea being, well, they're carved in stone, aren't they? And if they're carved in stone, then we're not going
He's literally brought a metaphor, Seb.
He has.
To life.
And he's going to put it in the garden of Downing Street if after tonight he's Prime Minister, and we can all hold him to account. And people are saying this is just the most laughable thing they've ever seen.
The joke is that there would have been someone around the table at like a meeting.
Yeah.
Gone, I got an idea, Ed. What's that? Massive stone.
Carve your policies on a stone.
And then he went, brilliant.
I guess in a strange way, though, you're either setting yourself up for a massive fall or you're really, really very confident with what you can deliver, because you know that at any moment, if he was to get elected or be part of a coalition, you know at any moment they're going to refer straight back to the stone.
They are.
They?
As far as Ed's
bold
tweets go, he will never, ever be able to top Ed Balls tweeting...
Ed balls.
Well, some people might say what's on the stone is a load of balls, but anyway, we'll find out whether this stone actually goes up in.
Some of these are. I've got a picture of it here. Some of them are quite generic.
They are very generic.
I don't know how measurable some of these are.
None of them are supposed not to be measurable.
For example, number one is a strong economic foundation. Does that just mean? I don't know, to be up by a tenner?
No, he's just going to put it on the stone.
Just, right, okay. You know, an NHS with the time to care. Again, not specific enough. It's not very specific, is it?
Ed, so what we need is measurable objectives. Yeah. Brilliant, I've got one.
Got time to care.
What are you measuring that in? Hugs.
What time?
One just says homes to buy and action on rents. Doesn't actually say what it is.
It's very generic. I feel like, yeah, you could get away with a lot with that.
Well, no wonder he's been able to carve it in stone. Anyway, moving on. I didn't stay up to watch this, but hashtag Pacquiao Mayweather. Did you watch this?
I didn't. No.
So many
of
my...
I was a bit tempted to, but I was too tired.
This is the biggest fight in the history of boxing ever, 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 until the next big one.
Yeah. So many of my friends paid to watch it.
Yeah. What?
And fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was just
3 hours build up as well. So your TV channel would have kicked in at 1 a.m, but the fight didn't start till 4 a.m. British time.
It's just too late, isn't it? I mean, I got up at 6 to go running. I nearly caught the end of it.
You would have, yeah. It's mad. It's one of those things that because I'm a big sports fan, I wanted to watch and know about.
Because it's an event.
Yeah, because it's a thing. It's a big deal. But, like, I don't know. I did call it, however. I saw my dad the night before and I said, I reckon Mayweather will be too quick for Pacquiao and it'll go to a draw. No one will knock anyone out and he'll win on points.
But in a way,
exactly,
which is what
happened.
Wouldn't have people been really annoyed if, like the start of the match just... bang down.
Yeah. No, not annoyed at all. That would have been
a dramatic
moment. That would have been the best moment possible. We'd rather that than it go 12 rounds in a draw.
But then what do all the spot? What aren't the TV execs going, hold on, shit, we've got 2 hours to
finish. No, they're not. No, they've just captured one of the greatest ever
go
moments.
Go to an ad break.
No, they've just captured the greatest moment, one of the greatest moments in sporting history if that happened.
Oh.
That would have been one of like the moments ever in boxing if that had happened in the first few seconds. They'd have been dying for that.
People said it was quite anticlimactic.
Well, don't tell that to the guys in the Western Philippines, because they were given, there was a public service announcement in the Western Philippines which stated there are going to be a lot of people that want to watch the match on television. If that is to happen, we don't have enough electricity to go around. So what we advise, this was actual advice from you know, that society, they said, we advise you to turn off your refrigerators to allow everyone to watch it via TV.
Brilliant.
Isn't that incredible? Shows you how popular it is.
I didn't watch it either. Met Gala, hashtag Met Gala. This is, now have you seen, this is like, what is it? It's like a big fashion-y kind of event. Which
in New York,
A lot of hobnobbing.
All the celebrities were there, and they all wear really weird things. And what I really like is, did you see what Rihanna was wearing?
I did, yeah.
Rihanna was wearing this yellow dress, which had this incredibly long white, it looked like the dress had melted, basically.
It looked like a pancake.
And what people have been doing on Twitter is actually slightly changing. It looks like an omelette, basically.
Yeah, we're just looking at a picture of it here. People have photoshopped her in a non-stick frying pan. It does look like a massive omelette. It looks like she's draped an omelette off the back of her.
I've also seen the picture of, apparently, Jason Derulo fell down the 12 like steps outside.
Excellent.
The thing.
Well, if he'd only fallen on this, he would have had a cushioned his fall.
I've yet to see any motion footage of this. I've only seen pictures. And he is full on upside down.
Really?
It's brilliant.
He did
it's
a Madonna.
There's a security guard. But I wonder if when we see the video with audio, he goes, Jason Derulo, all the way down the
Jason
stairs.
Derulo.
Yeah, beautiful. Sir.
Well, my favourite one though is with his Rihanna is they've got one of the Tin Man, the Lion, and Dorothy.
Look at that. I've got a pizza base.
Pizza's brilliant. Terrific.
The effort people go to.
I know. That's a Greg's pasty.
People have turned it into a frying pan omelette. It's brilliant. This is brilliant.
Yeah, I love that. Well done, Rihanna. Best thing you've done in my eyes. And finally. Hashtag this is Charlotte Elizabeth Diana.
Oh, who's that?
Who is, of course, the princess, the fourth in line to the throne. This is the new royal baby.
What does it mean to you, Seb? What does it genuinely mean to you?
Not a huge
deal. You interested?
Deal. I know, because everyone was interested in George, weren't they? Because he's the one who's going to be king. Well, I mean, that was a big moment, because you think about it, when we're probably on our deathbeds, you know, he'll probably be either about to become king or be king, and we'll be like, I remember when he was born, the day he was born, the future king of this country.
I must have
forgotten about.
That's the only bit that, for me, but she will have more press scrutiny than Harry and Will put together, because it's a girl. And the fashion, and the fact that she's got Diana in her name.
Do you know what? You mentioned this earlier. Having Diana in your name, I mean, it was sort of it was an obvious thing that I think a lot of people thought would happen, and it a really lovely sentiment. But you're right, there's automatically, wrongly, going to be comparisons made, and it'll be, you know, does she look like Diana or the new Diana? And all these, you know, if she does anything charitable or noteworthy, they're going to completely jump on the back of that. And that's horrible.
She touches a leper.
Goes through a tunnel.
As soon as she accidentally touches a leper, she's going to be straight in there.
If she embraces AIDS, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what I do like is the fact that, you know, whenever these babies are born, they're like given gifts from around the world, or all the heads of state.
Of course, yeah. They
send
stuff.
Yeah, they join in. So any guesses what the Australian government gave as a gift?
Is it prank phone call to the hospital?
That was the last one. They're on the same thing.
Yeah, that didn't turn out so well. A little cuddly koala toy.
Oh, it was
close.
You're quite close.
Kangaroo.
Quite close. No.
Boomerang.
No. It was a donation to a rare possum sanctuary.
Oh, that's annoying, isn't it?
£5,000 donation. First of all, is that all they can afford?
You get given a present of we've sponsored a gorilla. That gorilla's yours. Like, oh, great. When do I get to? Well, no, he's out in the jungle somewhere. Oh,
he's not mine then, is he?
He's not mine at all then. Really, you've donated to charity on my behalf. Where's my present, mate? Where's my present?
Israel? Do you want to Israel? Got in touch.
Frankincense and myrrh?
No.
I was going to say, some kind of missile.
It was a shell, you're right. No. No, it was a pink embroidered dress saying from Israel with love. Which was
I bet Kate had to do that thing.
The less successful bomb movie.
For the press. I think for the press, you had to say, oh, that's absolutely lovely. That as the door shuts, William, we throw that in the bin.
Yeah. Well, put that on a high rotation spin in the washing machine. It'll come out pulled. And we'll say, I'm afraid we only could wear it once.
But this is just in comparison. When George was born, this is what we're saying, he got more than 700 gifts. She's got about 600. My favourite is, who do you think sent Prince George as a gift, you know, on his birth? A leather flying jacket, a polo mallet, and a teddy bear.
It's got to be Richard Branson.
Harry!
Which government? Which head of state?
Oh, sorry, which head of state? Yeah, wait a minute.
A leather flying jacket, a polo mallet, and a teddy bear.
Barack Obama.
It's got to
be. Oh, what a legend. Just outstanding.
Can you imagine George in a leather flying jacket?
Wagwan, Jamaica!
Don't you
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here with you. We're always joined by our good friend Seb Noble, the newsreader. And we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth.
One of the biggest TV shows at the around at the moment, I've really got into this, The Island with Bear Grylls. Have you seen any of this, guys?
I've only seen it via Gogglebox.
Yeah, okay. Exactly the same. Yeah. I saw the clip of them
best
killing...
Best way to keep up with it, isn't it, Gogglebox?
Killing the pig.
The girls killing the pig.
That's exactly
and
it, yeah.
It was pretty harrowing,
It was
actually.
Difficult to watch, wasn't it?
They did this show last year, and it was just a group of guys on an island. This year, they've got a guys' island and a girls' island. So on Wednesday night, they show an hour of the guys. Thursday night, they show an hour of the girls. And it just that's
and
what
how does it work? Do they get voted off?
No. There's no like, you know, for the texting to vote or like out on deck, like shoving some snakes down the throat. It's just absolutely
liable.
It's just in its purest form, leaving them to it. That is absolutely it. And even because I at first I thought, oh yeah, there's gonna be like cameramen sleeping in lovely tents with Kit Kat bars all day long. No, they, of the tribes as they're known, I guess, they have cameramen
but that are also surviving.
Yeah, they have to
really?
they pass the cameras between them and they film everything themselves, and that's it. No food, nothing, absolutely nothing at all.
I watched the girls the other day, and it did feel a bit generated because they walked through like the jungle area on the island and they spotted a pig.
Just happened to come across a
pig. Happened to come across a pig that was basking.
Well, they're quite small, these islands, actually. But they are. One thing that Bear Grylls says is that both of the islands were picked due to the fact that they could provide natural food and water sources, but they would have to hunt and go above and beyond to be able to source it. It wouldn't just be there. It wouldn't be like
a
farm.
It just happened to come across a pig and a sachet of applesauce.
Unbelievably.
Oh my God, look! There's a barbecue with a gas canister over here!
This pig...
Look what the tide brought in!
This pig was...
Oh, no mustard this week.
This pig was sunbathing.
Is that an Ocado van? Look what the tide brought in! Is he what we're shopping?
This pig was sunbathing and he managed to jump it. Yeah. And to be fair, I thought there's no way they're catching this. Mm. One of the girls jumps on top of the pig and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, it's an awful noise. Oh, that is.
There is no, that's like, such a harrowing
awful,
noise,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm.
A pig.
Really,
I had to put down my bacon sandwich.
And then they had to slit its throat.
Yeah.
And I did feel a pang, actually, when I watched
a
that.
A what, sorry?
A pang.
A pang?
Yeah, like a pang of
a pain. You looked
emotion.
A little pain there.
I felt bad for the pig.
Did you? You're a meat eater. Could you do it? Could you do that? So here you go, Ollie. Could you... Because here's, for example, on the show, the girls, for example, there's less killers amongst them. So in the guys' camp, they have killed several things. We've seen them kill caimans, jump on the back of crocodiles and kill them. Putting the knife in the head. We've seen them kill fish. We've seen them kill lizards and snakes, chopping heads off. But in the girls' camp, we've only seen this one girl do it each time. Now, say if she gets ill and they, you know, because it is a TV show at the end of the day. If someone gets really seriously ill, they kind of evacuate them.
Mm.
But say if she goes, there's no natural killer. Now, say if you're there and so far this one person's been killing everything and now you've only got like a pig to eat every 3 days. You're running on empty every day. You should consume about 2,000 calories a day. They're eating about 200 a day.
Oh, my God.
But when they find a pig, that's 10,000 calories to share between them. Could you slit its throat?
Yeah, I think I could, but I feel really bad.
I'm not saying you should enjoy it, but could you do it?
I could do it, but I couldn't look it in the eye.
Well, you've got to look at it because you've got to do a good job because you want to be as humane as possible. You'd have to really concentrate and
I think what I'd
do
have
it properly.
What I'd have to do, do you remember was it Of Mice and Men, the book?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he takes, what's his name? The dull one.
Lenny.
He takes Lenny off onto the hill and makes him look at a sunrise. I think what I'd do if it was like, what do pigs eat?
Anything. Human remains based on last week's show.
Like, I get a bit of cabbage.
Yeah.
And I go, ooh.
Surely you'd be eating the cabbage yourself, wouldn't you, if you're on this island?
Like,
starving.
Henry. Actually, don't name it.
Don't
never
name it.
Name
never
it.
Name them.
So like, hey.
Well, they did name these two. They named them Sage and Onion. And already trending on Twitter was hashtag Sage and Onion.
Oh, that's making me hungry.
And that was enough for Hayley, my girlfriend, to cry when they killed the pig.
God. I put a big wedge of cabbage down or whatever it was into. Yeah, yeah. And then once it started tucking into it, I'd smack it over the head with a stone.
Oh,
and I'd
nice.
Go, he died doing what he loved.
Yeah. I guess that's a humane way to do it, but would it kill it straight away? You'd have to be really confident that you are going to do the deed.
I think the big thing here is rather about killing animals. It's like survival, right?
Mm.
So you are in a plane crash,
mm-hmm.
right? You're flying to Benidorm.
Right.
Hold on. The pilots pass out.
I think some people might prefer to be in the plane crash.
The pilots pass out. Plane keeps going for hours. Straight
line. To go for a long way away from Benidorm to get somewhere.
You know, they put a lot of fuel on. Okay. So it was a rough term flight to Birmingham. So plenty of fuel.
Fine.
Keeps going. Eventually, and the worst thing is, you know, you're sat on this plane and you know, can't get into the cockpit because of that, you know. Again, knocking on the door, nothing. Okay.
Fine.
So you know you're going down, right? Out into the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, you've got 10 hours, so you're like, we might as well watch an in-flight movie.
Got to kill some time before we plummet to our destination.
Isn't that mad? Like, knowing the plane was going down, everyone knows, but you've got 10 hours to kill.
Yeah.
No Wi-Fi signal.
Bit annoying.
No phone signal. The weird thing is, you are going to have to kill time a bit.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, in the film, it's like, you imagine someone, they just go,
for 10 hours.
After like 2 hours. That's the weird thing. So you'd have to make light conversation.
Yeah,
where are you from?
Hmm? You're dead right.
My name's Debbie. I'm from Birmingham. What do you do? I'm an accountant.
What did you do?
Isn't that mad though? Isn't that weird to think that social situation?
What did you do before this happened?
Do you imagine saying to Hayley, it's like, this is it.
Yeah. Be awful, wouldn't it? Harrowing.
What conversation would you have?
Do you know what? I'd still be so optimistic, actually. My gut reaction...
No, but the plate! You're
no,
in the,
no.
the Pacific Ocean. There's no land for thousands of miles.
I know, but that's not going to get me anywhere, is it? If there's a one in a billion chance...
No, it's literally not going to get you anywhere. You're dying.
If there's a one in a billion chance, you're still going to hold on to the hope that you're going to be able to get out of the situation. You'd be doing everything you can.
I think you would, yeah. Survival instincts.
Single avenue. This is just what this show is teaching
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
Like, absolutely anything it takes. You wouldn't sit there and just watch an in-flight mode. You wouldn't just reminisce about the good times. You would absolutely try and think of absolutely anything to try and get out of it.
Of course you would.
Eventually, plane goes down. You see the... I mean, it's not a nose
dive. Well, I have survived, haven't I?
Whoa.
Scenario.
So, hold on. Yeah, but you haven't heard this. So, plane goes down. So, it's not a nose dive. It's like, you hit the ocean, the plane breaks up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The impact, it's killed the majority of the people.
Okay.
All right? You've got
If you knew this plane was going down, wouldn't you be able to sort of get the doors open, ready, and then you'd all jump before the plane?
No, they're anti-terrorist doors. You can't get through into the cockpit.
No, but can't you actually get out the normal doors?
No, the plane's crashed.
There's
got to
be an emergency exit.
It's literally the hull's smashed into pieces.
Right, okay.
Right. Most of the people have died. You've got quite a thick head. You've survived, okay?
Great.
Hayley, now she's dead.
She hasn't got a very thick head.
Oh, man, this is depressing for me.
But you've got the thing is, she's a girl. She's quite buoyant.
Oh, my.
I know.
And what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, it is sad. It is sad that she's gone. I'm not saying it. I'm saying it is sad.
Are you
sad.
Saying when I float on my dead girlfriend?
What happens. Do you know what I mean?
No, it isn't. That would never happen. No one floats like that.
You're clinging on to her.
Oh, this is so depressing.
Next day, you wash up on an island.
Okay.
Seb, same thing's happened to you. You don't have a girlfriend. You just clinged on to a large woman.
Thank you. You're saying Hayley's a large woman?
No, I'm definitely not saying that. And you wash up on an island. How do you think you'd survive? Day one, what are you doing? Day one,
right, mate.
You've woken up and you're going...
Yep.
You're Rose in the
Hayley.
Middle of nowhere.
So to speak.
I would... I know what the first thing I'd do. What would yours be?
So this is...
What would yours be, Seb?
Yeah, you've probably got to eat the other person, haven't you?
No, but what's the first thing you do? You can't just eat and start eating.
No, you let go of Hayley. You lost her in the night. You've just washed up. There's no one on the beach.
Fine, Hayley's gone.
She's gone. She's done a bit.
Are there other survivors on there?
No, just...
Well, Veronica, the accountant, you could have saved her. She's so dull, you let her go.
Right. Are there other people on there?
Help, Seb! Sorry, can I hear you, love? What are you saying?
You found a piece of raft, and like in Titanic, she was Jack. Yeah. There was room for both of you, but you let her go.
Are there other people alive on there?
No, that's it. It's just you. Just you on this island, that's it.
I know the first thing I'd do. What would you do?
I don't know. What?
I want to know what you'd do first.
Just really panic.
No. No.
Surely that's the first thing. Did you? I've never heard that. Have you not seen all the films? Don't panic. That's the first thing.
Yeah, so don't panic. Now what are you going to do?
Go on.
Well, you've had a little panic. Now
all right,
calm
so you've been like that one on the plane. You've gone, 3 hours later. Okay, so the panic's over now.
Probably, explore my surroundings.
Right.
No, I think that's dangerous. I think if I've washed up on a beach, that's the best place to be already. I don't want to go too in far into the island. I would try and make a fire. First thing, try and make a fire. Because any water I have, I'm going to have to boil it first. The root of everything is the fire. Heat at night, light and boiling water. First thing, straight away, make a fire.
How are you making that fire?
Well, kindling, isn't it?
You're missing a massive trick. You've got glasses on.
Yeah, well, that could work, actually.
Use that.
This happened in the island, actually. This is one of the best moments. So they've taken all of these different people from different walks of life. They go to start a fire, and they're there for hours with what looks like a bow and arrow-style bow. They found some string, because there's loads of pollution that's come out of the sea. They find some string. They tie it to a bit of kindling, and they're there, like soaring away. They're getting some smoke, but nothing really substantial. Then the IT consultant comes along with his big, furniture-faced glasses. He holds them up to the sun above the kindling, and then it starts, and they made a fire based from his glasses.
Clever stuff.
So incredible.
Final thing, right? So you have made fire.
Yeah,
you've done really well, Simon. Seb's he's dead.
Mm.
He died.
Surprised. You'd out of the three of us, I think Seb would be the first to go.
He'd cried so much, he just dehydrated.
disintegrated.
3 hours. That's it. So Seb's
he's just agreeing with us.
He's dead. He's dead. And in a way, it's like, when they say, on the hospital programmes, when they're like on the trolley and they're going, stay with us. And the relatives holding the hand, they're going, don't worry, he's a fighter. Mm. Seb's not a fighter.
I just got in a blaze of asphyxiated glory, I think.
That's it.
Just bamboo shoot round your neck.
Yeah,
and
I know. If you're going to go.
Cock in hand.
If you're going to go. No one's going to find me, are they?
I love the idea of 2 minutes later, just like steel.
It's really funny, you did look around the other side of the island and it backs onto a lovely coastline. with a port.
Yeah, there's Caribbean steel drums and couples having drinks on the thing. Yeah. And a guy walks out.
Five-star hotel.
Yeah, it's like a wedding party and they come out to his ceremony and his dead body's just there with a rope round it.
He's panicked so
he's
early.
Been there an hour. It's just he's washed up an hour ago. You're there boiling your water.
That's so good. Oh, Seb.
Right, Seb's dead.
Yeah.
Okay, he panicked, all right? He panicked. He washed up in Barbados and panicked. He's dead, all right?
Fine.
That's what happens if you panic. Simon, you're on the beach. You've got some fire. You've managed to light it with your spectacles.
Yep.
It's the first time in your life. It was a bonus wearing glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no food. You've literally rummaged around for ages. You know that you've got to eat, okay? So it's like day four by this point.
Yep.
You're emaciated. Do you know what I mean? You've got water, but you are...
Figure's better than it's ever been.
You need food. Mm. Like, you need food quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Hayley washes up.
Right.
Right.
4 days later.
4 days later.
Jeez.
Okay. So, and obviously you are upset.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're upset.
Of course I am, yeah. I don't know, think about this, actually.
Also,
I feel a bit awful doing this.
Well, this is the...
I feel a bit
Simon,
sick.
This is the dilemma,
feel a bit
right?
Sick.
But you feel dead
so,
like me.
So, but one thing is, you're there and you go, oh, no, Hayley. But then also behind you, can hear the fire roaring. Do you know what I mean? It's ready.
Right, yeah.
What are
you...
You've
preheated the oven.
The oven is preheated and lunch has arrived.
Yeah.
So what... Just talk me through what you're dealing with emotionally here.
Oh, just talking about this makes me feel horrendous. I'm not going to lie.
Well, good. It should do. It should love of your life.
Body's already been salted.
Yeah, she saved your life once already. Now you're going to eat her.
Oh, could I eat her? I don't think I could. You know?
Nice Hayley breast for you.
Oh God! Do you know what? I don't think I could. I really don't think I could. Do you know what I'm imagining here? This sounds dreadful.
I'd happily tuck in. I think if I was still alive.
Well, if that was your girlfriend, if that was your equivalent.
Oh no! If it was just Hayley, I'd happily
tuck in.
No.
Put yourself in my shoes.
He's not got a girlfriend, though, is he?
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Put yourself in my shoes.
You've got to survive, haven't you? It's what she'd want, I think.
It's what she'd want!
At the end of the day.
You know what I'd really love is if you ate me.
What I'm imagining is like... going to the extremes to find some form of food. And then if I was literally... I could sense that my hours, my minutes were up. My time is up. If I knew I was on borrowed time...
You'd do it.
I would
you'd
probably do it.
There you go. See, exactly.
Not the whole body, right, though. Okay, actually, so that's the thing. I probably wouldn't do the whole body.
So, thing is,
I'd probably like just cut her hand off or something.
See it there? Just
cut her hand off.
Do you know what I mean?
At least it wouldn't feel as somehow harrowing. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, cover the face. Yeah. You're not eating the face.
No. I wouldn't. No.
Yeah,
no.
Like the leg or something like that.
Yeah.
Fine. So, what happens is that you're there. You, and the thing is like when it hits your lips, you're like, oh god, like you're almost like your Neanderthal sort of instinct takes over.
You're
just do a bit of gravy
at that moment.
an Oxo cube.
At that moment, it's just stuffing your face in. Boat comes in. Local fisherman, tribesman saves you. You're saved, right?
Okay. Oh, thank God. Yeah.
So you get home. They sort of you've got massive beards. Like the British Embassy take you in. They're like, Simon Alexander, you've been all over Sky News. People have been searching for you everywhere. people have been listening to the podcast and subscribing like crazy.
Hayley's parents worried sick.
Ollie's been cashing in on it. Do you know what I mean? He's been doing interviews with Sky News. Have you downloaded our Top 100 podcast?
What an idiot!
And they fly you back over. They shave you on the plane. They go, look, you just got to take it steady. You can't reintegrate into society too quickly. You can't go back to work. Mm. First thing gets back, you get home. You ring your parents. You ring Hayley's parents. Turn up. Oh, Simon, what happened? Tell us all about it.
Do I tell them I hate her?
Do you
No, I don't.
But she saved you, because that's a lovely story. She's a hero. She floated you to safety. Your girlfriend, the human buoyancy aid, saved you. It's a lovely story. They'll remember her. They'll go, she was a hero.
I don't like lying, but I would say in that situation that I lost Hayley at sea and never saw her again. I wouldn't say that I started tucking into her leg.
On FUBAR Radio.
All my life. Oh yes, he knows me, and he knows I'm right.
Fubar Radio. Ollie and Simon here. Our friend Sebastian and Newsreader is always with us. And we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. We always like to break it up a little bit. This is probably my favourite game that we do on the radio.
I love it, yeah.
You here? You guys ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Go get the bell. Pass us the bell.
Yeah, you can have the bell. Okay. Time to play Yoo-hoo. We all spend time on YouTube, but what are they trying to teach you? Please, what are going to be most on the other? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Welcome.
Have you added audience sound effects to this?
No.
All right. Okay.
I can't see them. I can hear them. I can't see them.
My hay fever's playing out. Hold on. No, we're fine. Okay, we're back. So we all now go onto YouTube. It's a very, very simple concept to search for things. It's the closest we've ever been to Neo in the Matrix being able to plug something in the back of his neck and teach himself to fly a helicopter in seconds. Mm-hmm. We all do it for very, very different things. I have in front of me some clips of people teaching you things on YouTube. Simon and Sebastian, you're going head-to-head if you can work out what they're trying to teach you. It's as simple as that.
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Clip number one. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yes.
We all search on YouTube, but what are they trying to teach you here?
Usually I always tell people, you know what, you got to make a little diamond. You know, it's an oblong shape, and it goes right in there, and you squeeze. And that's if it's coming right towards you, right towards your chest.
Okay, if it's coming right towards you, give it a squeeze.
Diamond shape.
Yeah, diamond shape.
Can you keep that again?
Yeah.
Usually I always tell people, you know what, you got to make a little diamond. You know, it's an oblong shape, and it goes right in there, and you squeeze. And that's if it's coming right towards you, right towards your chest.
Any ideas what the massive guy is trying
it's
to teach you
there? Coming right towards
He's
your chest.
Massive man coming right...
Oh!
Seb.
Oh, calm down. Are you catching, like, a ball? Is it sort of
it's
catching...
correct!
No!
Sebastian, that is unbelievable!
Of course, like that diamond shape. Yeah.
One
like a slip
point.
Catcher in cricket.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh!
Very good. One
Very
point to Sebastian.
Thank you.
Here we go, then.
I've been practising.
Another instructional clip here, but what are they trying to teach you?
Place your two fingers on the center of the victim's... Slide your fingers down into the notch between the muscles. You should feel a strong pulse there.
Sebastian.
Are you trying to strangle somebody to death?
Is incorrect. Simon?
Can you play again?
Place your two fingers on the center of the victim's... Slide your fingers down into the notch between the muscles. You should feel a strong pulse there.
Okay, you should be feeling a strong pulse. That's the giveaway. I'm going to have to push you for an answer here.
It's not just checking for a pulse, then. It's got to be like, I don't know... Sliding your fingers down, is it like some choking or...
Breaking their neck?
Something in the throat?
Is... incorrect. Oh. It was, of course, CPR.
Place your two fingers on the center of the victim's... Slide your fingers down into the
notch. Finding where you put your bottom of your hands to pump on the chest.
Sorry.
Oh, I see. Simon and I were thinking of how you'd kill somebody as opposed to saving their life.
Sebastian in the lead with 1 point at the moment. Moving into the third round. Here we go. What are they trying to teach you here?
Straight. Sweeping motion, very, very effortless. Using this section of the knife, about an inch, that's all I'm sticking it in, and a very slight tug, boneless, you're ready to go.
Okay, so he's slipping it in, just an inch though. Sebastian.
Like filleting a fish, skinning a fish?
He's correct!
No! Oh my goodness.
2 points up. Simon, you've got to do something here, or right. Sebastian, if he gets this next one, that's it, you're out of it. You need this one. Okay, here we go. What are they trying to teach you here?
Reason that we want to have a good sturdy grip is to handle muzzle control, that muzzle flip. Now, that's pretty good. I want to have a nice solid grip, but I don't want to have a death grip.
You want a nice solid grip, but not the death grip. Anybody?
Can you do it again?
Okay, here we go.
I think it's...
You searched on YouTube, it's late at night.
Is it late at night?
Okay, it's late at night, girlfriend's away. What are they trying to teach you here?
Reason that we want to have a good sturdy grip is to handle muzzle control, that muzzle flip. Now, that's pretty good. I want to have a nice solid grip, but I don't want to have a death grip.
Simon.
Is it... Is it like taming a dog?
Is. Incorrect. Sebastian. Answering the dogs, I've asked you.
Is it? If you don't get the point, if you don't buzz in, is it like you're trying to give like an injection or inoculation to an animal, and you're trying to like stop it from sort of like flipping back and biting you or something?
It's a good, educated, sensible guess.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. What is it, of course, teaching you how to hold a gun properly.
Reason that we want to have a good sturdy grip is to handle muzzle control. That muzzle flip.
Muzzle flip. What is that? Have a nice solid grip. He's played midfield for Leicester, I think. What's the muzzle? Muzzle. It's like gun muzzle.
Yeah.
But no, what? I've never heard that.
Yeah.
The trigger are you talking about?
Did you never watch Die Hard? Anyway, that's muzzle. Another week of Yoo-hoo! Sebastian in the lead with three glorious points.
Two points.
Oh, you didn't get the final one.
No.
Okay, 2 points. 10 out of 10 for CPR and filleting a fish.
No, I'd actually.
You didn't get CPR,
didn't say CPR.
Did you not?
No.
What did you get?
You're the worst host ever. Do you know that? Like.
Oh, jeez. Catching a ball.
Yeah.
That was very good with the diamond shape. Yeah. Well done, Sebastian.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. And baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall in love with you every single day. And I just wanna tell you I am. So honey, now gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name. When my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. 'Cause honey, your soul could never grow. Maybe it's all part of a plan.
really are.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
This is FUBAR Radio. Ollie and Si here. Sebastian, our newsreading friends, with us, as always. And we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. One story that really stuck out for me was, I mean, it was a big hiccup that someone had at work. I mean, we've all had those days when we've made mistakes. We've sent the email to the wrong person. You know, we've blocked the toilet.
Accidentally sworn on air.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was bad.
I mean, obviously, that's fine here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Another station we work on.
Ooh.
Ollie said shite, didn't he?
Well, the worst thing about it was...
This is exactly how it went.
Ooh. I said, Sheeran, thinking out loud, shite.
Context is key. I made a faux pas. But the problem was, I didn't just say shite. It was the only thing that went out. So Ed Sheeran finished. Oh, shite. And then just went, news. It's so bad.
It was awful.
Not the best introduction I've ever had.
Anyway, it will never get as bad as one lab worker. OK, so this is a guy. He's working in some pretty serious stuff. Vaccinations are big things these days with things like Ebola and also with some older diseases that exist in laboratories, but they don't want them to come back. You know, things like smallpox, for example.
Mm.
It was 1977 the last time we saw smallpox. Devastating. Can run riot.
You've been doing your research.
Now, this guy was working in a lab with trying to come up with more vaccinations for smallpox. He dropped a needle.
Ooh.
He just... Whoop. The needle went into his leg. It was the needle he'd been injecting a mouse with smallpox with.
Oh, my God.
Right.
So he's...
He's got it.
Injected himself with smallpox. Just imagine that moment of... Oh, I have...
Oh. Ruined my shoe.
Just that moment, I'm...
That may be an issue.
I fucked it.
This
I
may
absolutely fuck this. Because, right, now I want you to think this through, right? It's not something that you can go to your boss, okay? I can go to my boss and go, really sorry, said shit on air.
Mm.
It's bad, but...
Recoverable.
I'm walking away from it.
Mm-hmm.
He's infected himself with smallpox.
Yeah.
Is that right? Fatal?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. So, here's the scenario, right? Anyway, so the long story short of this guy was, he had to lose his thumb. His thumb came off. They had to get rid of
his
thumb.
Leg.
I know, but his thumb came off. They had to amputate it for some reason. I don't know much about smallpox.
Did I get the form wrong?
He wakes up.
Why's my thumb gone? It's in my leg. Oh, is it? Oh, oops.
Right. So,
right, put him back under, guys.
I better go as well.
It got me thinking how you would react to something like this, right? So this is the situation, right? Simon, you're a lab worker.
Okay.
You went to university.
Yeah, lovely.
Okay.
Raking it in my lab.
You're working your way up. You're an intern at the moment.
They've got
you working on the shitty stuff.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So you're in the lab. They're going,
cleaning beakers.
So you're cleaning beakers, but
putting Bunsen burners away.
You're cleaning beakers in like there's one bit of the laboratory that's sealed off because it's deadly diseases. There are no cures to these diseases that they're harbouring in there. You know, maybe they're using them for mass weapons of destruction. You don't know, but basically you've got the short straw.
Chemical warfare.
You're the shitty intern. You're in there cleaning the beakers. All right. Now you infect. So you're in there. No. You're sort of on your lunch break and you got your dib dab. Right.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've forgotten to wash your fingers, and then you just, as you're dib-dabbing, you suddenly go,
hang on.
Oh, fuck. Okay. You've ingested a deadly virus to which there is no cure.
How long until I die?
7 days.
Okay.
You've got a week to live.
You've got a week to live, right?
Hmm.
Do you, A... put yourself straight into isolation and go, I'm going to protect the planet here.
What, so it's contagious?
Oh, yeah, so contagious. You got off a dib-dab.
What, so if I breathe near someone,
yeah,
they get it?
Oh, everyone's getting it.
Jeez, what is right. this?
Okay, Christ. Deadly, awful.
Right.
Okay. So...
Yeah, I do that, yeah.
Well, hold on. What about seeing your girlfriend for the last time? Yeah. Or your family?
Well, yeah, I will, but I have to do it the other side of a piece of glass. Why?
I've got no choice. I'm not, what are you saying? Am I going to say, am I going to go and just go, oh, hello, how's work today? Yeah, not bad. Can we just, and then just carry on and infect them all and kill my whole family?
Take them down, will you?
Are you joking?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, you know what, is there the option to, you know, sort of put some scuba diving equipment on and just sort of go, because the problem is,
which you'll have handy in the laboratory.
As soon as you tell everyone, you're on lockdown, that's
yes,
it.
But it's tough.
I'm really claustrophobic. I don't want to die in a little...
Where's it have to be little?
Chamber. It will be tiny because they contain you, aren't they?
I don't think you've got a choice here. If it's going to kill people and you don't want to... I'm not going to use my body as a weapon to kill people. Unless I turn up to people I don't like's house.
What do you do when you ring Hayley?
What?
Phone rings. Hiya, you coming home cooking duck tonight?
Yeah.
You go, oh, here's the thing.
I've got a deadly disease. I'm going to die in 7 days.
I'm in a right pickle here.
Yeah. That's the long and short of it.
She'd go absolutely mental. She'd be like, you dickhead.
She's going to have to cook the duck now.
I know, poor girl.
What have I told you about washing your hands?
I know. I paid the full price.
You'll learn for next time.
Yeah, I'll learn for... Oh, wait.
Seb, what would you do?
I'd do the same as Simon. Although I wouldn't call Hayley and tell her about the duck.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really care.
I just think surely there's a way to get like a dry suit with like a helmet on it.
Well, I don't know.
I want to walk the dog one last time. Do you know what I mean? I want to...
Yeah, but in order to go and get all that stuff...
I want
to
stand by...
You'd have to infect people.
You'd have to infect people. You just said that you would infect people if you breathed near them.
I'd ring you.
Hmm.
I'd FaceTime you. I'd go, Simon, I am in a pickle.
Yeah.
I need you to bring me a bell suit, like a diving suit.
Okay, yeah, sure, come right away.
Whoa, hold on, don't... So can you leave it just outside the laboratory?
Why?
I'm infected with a deadly disease.
Jeez. Okay. So I can't see you? Can't be in the same room as you?
Well, you can once I've got the suit on.
Okay.
So would you...
Has this been verified by another scientist that it will
work?
Well,
no, but I've got a degree in molecular science, haven't I?
I don't trust you. You're still an intern cleaning beakers. I would want some verification from a wise scientist first, please.
Right, okay, well, I'm going to get that, and then I'm going to put that suit on, and I'm going to, you know, like the when we had the foot and mouth, I'll stand in a trough of bleach, do you know what I mean? Wash my boots,
right.
And then go and do a few things that I want to do. I just have to do it in a suit. Imagine getting you home and seeing your partner and going, come on, one last time. And they go, not in that suit.
Well, you can't. You can't penetrate the suit, if anything else. Can you? You can't.
I'm sure there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
FUBAR!
Stranger, you could be good for me. I haven't That's why I'm singing this song to you.
Welcome to Room 102. It's like Room 101.
But worse.
Far, far worse. Every single week we get you guys to put your pet peeves into Room 102 and banish them forever, but they have to be pretty good. David, you're in Leamington Spa.
Yes, I am.
And we're going to give you 30 seconds this morning to give us your pet peeve. Are you feeling confident about yours? Is this something that grates you?
I'm feeling very confident about my peeve. I'm not sure how confident I am at putting it across in 30 seconds, but I'll have a go.
Okay, all right, we're going to give you 30 seconds. Here we go. Starting now, off you go.
Okay, well, the fact is, no one speaks to anyone anymore face-to-face because everyone's looking at their mobile phones. I mean, they bump into you when they're walking along the street and then they look at you as if to say you weren't looking. That you find them when you get on a bus, they're talking on the phone, or they're being dealt with on the bus by the conductor, which I always think is kind of rude. You go to restaurants, whole families are on their phones. Couples who are going out dating, I mean, they should be dating, but they're like on their phones all the time.
Okay, time out. This is the. That's it. This is 30 seconds.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Gosh, it's so fast.
Oh, it goes quickly. It goes quickly, David. I think you're right. I think this, you know, you do sometimes look around and I think sometimes it's always shocking. We see a group of friends when they're all on their phones. But that's a classic, isn't it? One-on-one in a restaurant. In fact, I was eating out in Leamington last week. I was in Yo Sushi and there was a couple opposite and they were both sat there on their phones. And I don't know if you have any of these friends that post a lot on like Instagram or Twitter or whatever. And what's really interesting when they're both posting and they're going, out with Bay, but they're both posting. You're thinking, well, hold on. If you're both on your phones posting that, what?
Yeah. You're actually having a good time there.
Like what? But, it's weird, right?
It's really weird. Do you know? I was in the gym the other day, and I went into the sauna, and there was a guy on his phone in the sauna.
What? Are you joking?
The sauna. And I glared at him.
No.
And I said, what on earth? I said, mobile phones, you know. You can't even go into the sauna without a mobile. I mean, they're sort of like naked, you know.
Surely it would overheat having a phone in the sauna. It doesn't sound
right. I've just noticed, you're calling us on a landline, John.
Pardon?
So you're calling us on a landline, so do you have a mobile?
Of course I'm calling you on a landline. There's nothing better than a landline on the radio because mobile phones crackle and cut off.
Do you have a mobile phone?
Yes, I've thrown it across the bed so it doesn't interfere with this call. Because that's the whole point with mobile phones. They just get in the way all the time. I mean, if it was near the phone, it'd be crackling and buzzing and ticking and everything, wouldn't it? I took a friend out, by the way. I took a friend out. Now, I'm not showing off here, but I took a friend out to the Ritz about 2 weeks ago.
Ghost of the Ritz.
And I noticed that there was this notice that said no mobile phones as you walked into the restaurant. You went into the restaurant, and of course, everyone was alive with conversation, and it was such a relief to have a room buzzing with conversation instead of just people, you know, with their eyes out on stalks on their screen.
Do you know what? My dad really, really hates this, and he almost bought, you know, you can get these mobile jammers.
Yeah.
One of his friends actually bought these. So if, say, if you're in a restaurant or something, you can. They're definitely illegal. I think you can buy them online.
Yeah.
And he sets them on and it just kills everyone's signal. Isn't that great?
Oh, I love it. I want one.
But the thing is that I have a mobile phone. I do use it a lot. But I do prefer to talk to people. Like, I ring people.
I do.
Yeah, I ring people a lot rather than have text conversations.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think we can dispute this one bit, can we?
I think, because I feel like I don't know what I'd do without my phone to an extent, because it's just such a great source of everything. But I'd be happy to banish it while I'm in the company of others.
Others.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think mobile phones in the company of others should be banished. Should we put it into the room? I think it's going in.
It's going in.
Hooray!
Radio. This is Fubar Radio. Ollie and Simon here. Our good friend Sebastian Noble, Boston United's number one fan.
Undoubtedly, eh?
Is with
Actually,
us.
Actually, are there any people that you see there that are bigger fans than you?
Oh, yeah, we have really passionate, mad, crazy fans.
I'll be
yeah.
honest with you. When I found out the news, I laughed my head off. When Simon told me...
Can we just let Seb now just talk us through his day?
When I saw Seb and he told me, nearly in tears...
I wasn't nearly in tears, I'd recovered by that point.
I didn't find it as funny.
Okay. Come on, Seb, what happened? Talk us through your day.
I think a lot of people listening, a lot of football fans, may well have experienced the playoffs before for their team, where basically a whole season's work comes down to... two or three matches.
We say work, kicking a ball, but yeah.
Yeah. And
that is work, Ollie.
That's what ours came down to. And we were heading into the second half of our second leg. Just went 2-0 up.
So 2-0 up.
Two in the bag.
In the bag. Absolutely
in the bag. And on the way to into the final. We're not going to Wembley. Yeah,
Bob
yeah.
Regis.
Yeah. Anyway, and then they pulled a goal back, so 2-1 going into the very, very, very closing seconds. You know, referee, you know, he'd shown how many minutes are going to be added on. Yeah. We'd played those minutes.
Are they unbearable, those moments?
Oh, they're absolutely awful. What's even worse now, in hindsight, thinking about it, is that one of those minutes was added on because our fans kept throwing extra balls onto the pitch. So whenever their keeper tried to take a goal kick, another ball would appear and everyone would go, "Hey!" And then as soon as that ball would go off, another one was thrown out of the crowd.
That's just adding time on.
It must have taken a minute. And that's where that extra minute came from, when in the 95th minute, it was only 94 minutes supposed to be played, 95th minute... their player scored with an overhead kick from the outside the box.
2-2. So can I just say at this point, I weighed in. Bizarrely, this is Boston United, obviously, tiny little town. Bizarrely, my dad is also from Boston. As am I, technically. Never lived there, though. And there's a vested interest. We're back at home, and dad was following it on Twitter. I started texting Seb saying, "What's the atmosphere like? How are you feeling?" He's like, "It's 2-1, only 10 minutes to go." So because we were texting, Seb thought, "I know, I will start filming a video on my iPhone of the final moments so that when the referee blows for full time, there's the whole 3,000 Boston United fans going, yeah, going mad in a pitch invasion." He'd film it and send it to me and my dad to watch.
Out of the kindness of my heart.
So with 1 minute to go, Seb got his phone out and started commentating. Started commentating, going, "Oh, come on, boys, we've only got 30 seconds to go.
10 seconds to go.
He was counting down.
Blow your whistle, and referee."
So what he was expecting to film the final whistle, what he actually ended up filming was the equalising goal and just silence.
It was absolutely crushing.
And then just he stopped recording. You know, like the camera dips.
Oh,
just dips down and stops recording.
It was soul destroying.
Seb said to me before, I mean, I don't really understand, you know, because I don't follow football. Mm. But this is when I realised it mean that much to him, because they played over the weekend. He'd gone to see them play, and he came back to work a few days later, and he said to me, "Yeah, I couldn't sleep last night," and I said, "Why last night? Like the football game was on the Sunday." He goes, "Just the thought they'd won, right? Just the thought that they might not have won gave me a sleepless night."
Yeah, it's awful.
It's awful.
And so, anyway, it went down to penalties, and anyone who knows England matches will know just how horrific penalties are.
Absolutely hate it.
Yeah, they're awful. Anyway, the worst part about it was that we had the penalty to win it. You know, imagine that crucial moment and the anticipation and the nerves. And this penalty was tipped onto the bar by the goalkeeper and then onto the line, bounced onto the line, bounced out. A bit like Jeff Hurst, you know, 1966. Did it cross the line? Did it not cross the line?
Yeah.
Our fans thought it did cross the line. So what do you do when you think you've won?
No, they didn't run on the pitch.
They invaded the pitch.
What, so they all ran on, they went,
massive pitch invasion. All the fans charging onto the pitch. We've celebrated. We've won. Only we hadn't.
So they all had to walk off again.
So everyone had to walk off again.
How?
The pitch.
They scored.
The pitch had to be cleared, so we went back to penalties. They scored, we scored, they
scored.
Imagine
trying to find your seat again.
I know. It's unfortunate we don't have seats.
Did you go on the pitch?
No, I didn't go on the pitch. And then we missed the decisive penalty, and
that's it.
I think at that point I just wanted to burst out crying. But
I love it.
But fortunately, there is next season.
Mm-hmm. And the season after. And the season after.
Yeah.
And every season for the rest of your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what football does to people. I think football fans, I've got a love-hate relationship because you see a lot of crap in the press about awful things that have happened, racial incidents, prejudices, horrible things that a very small minority of football fans who ruin it for everyone. Also on the pitch, you've got the players that dive, which is theatrical, but it's sort of part of the game, which is a bit annoying because it's bad PR for the game.
Mm.
Everyone who doesn't like football always goes, oh, they all dive, as if that's why we like it. As if it's like, oh, do you see Ronaldo's dive? Like, we don't do it. It's not why we like football.
No.
But that always gets slept in. But the fans, the chants that they come up with, I mean, some of them are so clever.
Some of them are incredibly clever.
You've been in the Boston stands. You must have some amazing, your favourite chant.
I'm not sure any I can repeat.
Yeah, you can. Say what you want.
Say what you want.
All right. Well, we used to have a song about Tony Martin, the guy.
Who's Tony Martin?
He was a Norfolk farmer who shot a young rapscallion who'd invaded his, trying to rob his house and his farm.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the chant?
Tony Martin is our friend. He shoots gippos.
Does it rhyme?
But what's it got to do with the match?
There's nothing to do with the match at all.
Really? Is he a footballer?
But it's not.
No,
it's not clever.
What? He's not a footballer.
Nothing to do with the.
No. We just used to sing it.
That's got nothing to do with anything.
I know, but it's.
I know.
We just used to sing it. Shoots the bastards.
I mean,
one
I
by
know
one,
nothing about
one by one, one by one. Shoots the bastards one by one. Tony Martin.
That was brilliant.
I mean, I don't know anything about.
It was very topical in the early noughties.
Football, but I mean, I mean, even I know a couple of them from my friends. Who's the player? Is it Yi Sang Park?
Jisung Park.
Jisung Park
used to play for Man United. And I don't.
Jisung Park. Jisung Park. He shoots. He scores. He'll eat your Labrador, Jisung Park.
Well, that is
because he's
awful.
Korean.
No, but that was sung by the home crowd. So is that in support of him, or is that that I don't understand?
I think they're confused.
I think
someone comes up with a great one. And he goes, "Well, I'm going to throw it out there."
One of my favourites, you can see a YouTube video of this, is it's quite a big stand. I think it's like a League One or Two game from quite a few years ago. And a load of bobbies are walking past with their full attire and the big hats. You know, the ridiculous policeman's hat.
Yeah.
They are dressed to the nines in police gear, and there's a group of them walking across. The whole stand in unison, perfect unison.
Yeah.
We pay for your hats. We pay for your hats. What a waste of council tax. We pay for your hats.
It's not exactly the council tax, but keep going.
I just thought that is wonderful. Also, one of my favourites is do you know the England goalkeeper? I don't know whether he's still there. Called Mark Bunn at Norwich City.
I have heard of him.
Great chant there, where they go, he's got a short name, he's got a short name, Mark Bunn. He's got a short name. And it's just silence in the ground for about
really
3 seconds in the middle.
That is really clever.
Oh, you've got to love him, haven't you?
Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR Radio. Ollie and Simon here with you. We're joined by our good friend Seb Noble, the newsreader, and we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth.
Over the weekend, I know you guys will probably rinse me for this, but I had to cook for a chef.
Oh, it's not a big news story then.
You had to cook for a chef?
Well, not had to, like obliged to, but a friend of ours, her boyfriend is a chef and they're coming around for dinner.
Right.
And I never really said I'd cook. Hayley, my girlfriend, just said, "You're cooking. He's coming round."
That is pressure, isn't it?
Live up to expectations. Now, I love cooking, as you guys both know, really into it, but the pressure is on here because I know that he's going to know more than me.
Yeah.
I cooked some duck.
Brave. Ooh. That is brave.
Ooh. It is brave because I'd never done it before.
Never cooked duck when I could bloody come round.
Yeah, but you're easy. Pucker pie. Yeah.
See, I wouldn't know what I'm doing with duck. I don't know if I can have it pink. I don't know if I can.
You can have it pink. Yeah,
you can.
Can, yeah. So I said,
answer that question. There you go.
What I don't understand is why can you have duck pink and you can't have chicken pink? They're both birds.
The proteins and the molecules that make up that meat mean that they
mean that they
can be cooked very differently. You cannot have uncooked chicken. You can have rare birds. It's very complicated and technical. Anyway,
wow, I bet the dinner conversation was fascinating the other night.
Look, I was really nervous. Anyway, cooked these duck breasts. When they arrived, Vanessa goes, "Oh, Rich is slightly late. He's still at the restaurant, but this would be lovely because actually on Wednesday he cooked me duck."
Ooh.
So straight away I'm like, "Oh God, here we go." Anyway, I was, you know, they were all like eating nibbles, you know, music and stuff in the other room. I was just in the kitchen by myself, just really concentrating that hard. Like, just so
like, I should have been there.
I was really not blinking. I feel like MasterChef, you know, their hands really close to it. I was just like right into it. Anyway, cooked these duck breasts, was dead happy, nice and pink, looking lovely. Hard getting the skin right, crispy, don't want all that fat.
Whenever I cook duck.
I bet. It's, yeah. So anyway, brought it out, Rich ate the whole lot. Of course, I was barely eating because I was just watching what he was doing the whole time. He finished, put his knife and fork down and goes, "That was fantastic. I cooked duck on Wednesday night. This was better."
Wow.
And I was absolutely elated.
So are you only telling this story to brag?
Well, no.
How long's he been working at McDonald's for?
Weeks. Weeks.
He can serve up those fries in that box and they never fall out.
He does well.
Did he bring the dessert? Was it a McFlurry?
Yeah.
From those apple pies.
Yeah. They're always too hot in the middle.
It was hotter than the sun.
They're a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, dear.
I know. But do you know what? Even doing it, and I'm always watching like the TVs and TV shows and stuff.
You
and
love it.
I do love it, but I just don't understand. The one thing I don't get is why is it so military?
What?
So, like, the way the chefs speak to their other chefs and people that work with them, why can they be so harsh and vulgar in the cooking industry? I don't understand.
They've got to get it right, and, you know, they can't.
No, but it's like they're literally talking to each other like soldiers.
I remember...
We're making a bit of food.
My dad encouraging me to get my first job when I was 14. He obviously wanted to install, like, a really strong work ethic in me.
Oh, good job, did he?
And I went...
Try again.
I got a job as a pot wash at, like, the local pub.
I did,
and,
too.
And, you know, like... I was quite a moddy coddled child, you know, went in there. The head chef and the sous chef, one was Australia, one was Kiwi. And I remember going, burning my hands straight away, not liking it, smelt of grease, didn't like any part of it. And the first thing that the Australian chef said, no niceties, just went in, pointed to where the thing was, started washing up, and I dropped one of the pans onto the floor. And he just goes, you can't.
No, are you joking? How old are you? Like 14?
I'm like 14.
Are you saying...
It's the first time I'd heard the C-bomb.
Are you sure he wasn't saying, no, you can't?
Well, I didn't... I mean,
no, you can't do that.
You sure that wasn't what he was saying?
I didn't realise it's actually quite... you know, in some ways, it's quite an endearing term for some Australians. They use it... I had a lot of Kiwi friends that it was almost like a friendly term. Like, to be a bit of a lad. Oh, you can't.
Yeah.
You know?
Mine's a very similar sentiment when I use it towards you as well.
Yeah. I've got some of the best ever Gordon Ramsay
put downs.
Talking of C-bombs, Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. I know. Because, I mean, he, again, I just don't understand or like his approach, but it does make me laugh when he is ridiculing people. Okay. And clearly how angry he gets. He's clearly got some issues that he's taken out on his colleagues. This is a lovely quote. This is like a philosophy. You know those pictures you get on Facebook with like a picture of like Gandhi and then a quote in it? You should have these, like Gordon Ramsay. A picture of his lovely face, all his lines, and then... This is to his commie chef, who's an American man.
Mm.
Now fuck off, you fat, useless sack of fucking Yankee Doodle shite.
That's the explicit version of the rhyme, isn't it?
And here's a lovely quote. This is him tasting at somebody else's food. He says, "The beef is so raw, it's trying to eat the salad."
You've got to give him in some ways you've got to take your hat off to him and go, do you know what, you Frankie Doodle, do you know what I mean, like, it's good, isn't it?
That's inventive.
You Yankee Doodle piece of shit.
This is easily my favourite though. After a colleague of his was deemed to not do quite as good a job as he was hoping, he turned round and said, "My gran could do better and she's fucking dead." I just don't even what an idiot.
It reminds me of that time. This is probably my favourite ever moment on Top Gear from Richard Hammonds. Admittedly, it is an outtake. He's cycling and a van pulls out on him.
"What the fucking hell are you, you great gangly fuck-knuckled twat, greasy-haired cunbag? Fuck you!"
Just one more time, just hear the whole thing.
Oh my God.
"What the fucking hell are you, you great gangly fuck-knuckled twat, greasy-haired cunbag? Fuck you!"
Wow, that is verbal diarrhoea, isn't it?
It's poetry, though, in a way.
Well, that'll serve him right for giving him cold meat.
What about you, though, Seb? Because I know, you know, Ollie's restricted because of his gluten-freeness.
Yeah.
Glutard.
Do you know what? It really has taken the pleasure out of food for me. Like, there are some days now where if I could just take a tablet just to get the calories, I would.
That really stresses me out. I hate that idea of that. Because it's one of life's natural pleasures, eating lovely food. You have to eat.
That's like saying to a man in a wheelchair, "Oh, I love running."
No, it's not. Because you can eat a load of things still. You can still get a lot of pleasure from a lot of things you can eat. It's just not, gluten.
It's not the same anymore. It's not the same.
Because and especially saying, like, you'd rather just...
It's like if anybody's into skiing... Being gluten-free is like going skiing on a dry ski slope. Yes, you're skiing.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can, you know, steaks
and a lot of the bread.
You can eat steak and chips, can't you? You love steak and chips.
Yeah, but that's all I have, isn't it? That's literally
all I have.
You can
have chicken and chips, lamb and chips.
Duck and chips.
Yeah, you can have like...
I haven't had duck and chips yet.
There you go. There's a lot of things.
Mix it up.
That really, you saying that you'd rather just take a tablet that has the calories, though. Do you really mean that?
Some days I do, because it just gets me... I just get fed up
with
it.
That is so depressing, mate.
Just like... And also...
Really depressing.
But, and that's also to do with, like, I go to the gym a lot and I need to eat a lot of, like, you know...
But that's a good excuse to eat more food.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't be bothered with it. Anyway, at least I can say, though, that when I wasn't gluten-free, I ate more... eclectic things than Seb.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
no offense. What do you mean?
This is absolutely true. The other day, he was around at mine for a bit of food, and we just had a...
Didn't have duck, I'll tell you that for free. Did we? Didn't have duck.
Duck isn't free. Anyway, we had a few nibbles out, and Seb goes, "Oh, I've never had a raw carrot."
No, never had raw carrot before.
I mean, that's not unusual.
Surely you've been at a party where there's been raw carrots.
Yeah, but I don't touch the vegetables. I go for the crisps and, you know, the sausage rolls. Don't go for the vegetables. Let's have a party. Let's have some vegetables.
You've never had a prawn.
A prawn.
I've now had a prawn.
Yeah, you had it at mine as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
What are there other big hitters on your list? Is there like some stuff where you go, right, I need to have that?
I've never actually had steak, actually.
What, a steak?
Yeah,
Oh my God, are you joking?
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
You've never had a steak. I literally don't know how that's happened.
Well, I've never had steak.
Are you up for trying it?
It's not like going being on holiday and being like, "Oh, I've never had frog's legs."
Oh, I've never had those.
I've never had a piece of beef, a steak.
It's mad.
Never say that.
Are you a little bit tempted? Do you look at it and go, "Oh, look at lovely succulent"?
Not really, no.
Would you try it though?
I'm not a big beef man.
I know, but will you try it?
But you
though?
Haven't eaten it.
I know.
When was the last time you tried it?
Well, I haven't had it there, hence why I've
never,
not tried
it. So you never tried beef in your life, so you don't know if you don't like it.
Oh, no, I've had beef, but I've never had steak.
Okay, so you don't know if you don't like it.
I don't like beef.
In what form have you had that beef?
In, you know, all the main forms.
I know how we can get into Eat Steak.
Go on.
Have you heard about International Steak and Blowjob Day?
It's coming up.
I've heard about it. It's coming up. I invented it.
It's in its third year, and I think it's something you'd thoroughly enjoy.
Please sing him.
Radio. This is FUBAR Radio. Ollie and Simon here. Sebastian, our good friend and news raider, is always with us. We take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. If I said to you Dave Goldberg, would that mean anything to anyone?
No.
No,
no
idea.
This is a man that passed away in the last week.
Okay.
And he made big headlines. Any ideas why?
Was he really, really old?
No, he wasn't.
Was he really, really young?
Actually, that's partly the reason why the story is so shocking. He wasn't that old at all. He was in his late 40s. He was married to a big executive, Sheryl Sandberg. She was a massive executive at Facebook. And that's why it's such a big story.
Right.
And there was loads of speculation because he seemed quite healthy.
Yeah.
And then just suddenly, he died. And it wasn't until 3 days after the story that it came out that he died because he fell off a treadmill.
What?
Really?
I've done that at the gym once. I didn't die.
Just slipped off the
treadmill. You went to a gym?
Yeah.
Wow.
He just slipped off the treadmill.
Got lost.
What, and just hit his head or something?
Yeah.
What, died instantly?
Gone.
Oh, my goodness.
So it came out 3 days later?
Yeah, so there was so obviously lots of people were speculating because
they knew
of
public,
her.
Oh,
in
right.
public, yeah.
Yeah.
People were going, why has he died? What's happened? How could this be? Yeah. And then it's come out, you know, that he did. He fell off a...
That is...
He fell off a treadmill.
That is a bad way to go. It's not as bad as the Segway guy.
What's the Segway? No, what's the Segway guy?
You know what Segways are?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy who invented it died by falling off a cliff on a Segway. That's absolutely true.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He developed, an off-road Segway and it was his downfall.
literally falling down.
It did get me thinking because I was in town the other day and it was when we were both out. We walked past a funeral parlours.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself,
this is a smooth segue.
Hey, and that was two.
Moving on. I thought to myself, that I've never realised. Why did I never think to myself in school? Do you remember Careers Day in school, right? Mm. And there was always classic. There was the two army guys, wasn't there?
Going, there's always an army.
Got to make.
There's always an army stand, wasn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Army, police, anything, you know, responsible.
99.9% need not apply.
Yeah.
Well, I won't apply then. Oh, no, we do need you.
We do need to keep the stats
here's
up.
Here's a lollipop.
Your stats are awful, mate. 99.9,
here's
rubbish.
A lollipop and a free adventure holiday. Just sign here. It's just like, 99, you've got a gut. How did you get in?
Yeah.
You're definitely not part of the 99.9%, are you?
It's all in the mind.
Balding middle-aged man.
Hmm.
And there was always an accountancy firm. And they'd have to, like, lure you in with, like, a Sky Electrics on the stand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No one's coming to that stand.
Massive bowl of sweets.
Just
got nothing to do with the company whatsoever.
Okay, it's not just about
just
numbers.
Just got the company logo
that
on the sweet.
That is so true. That is so true.
It's not just about numbers. Well, can we play Sky Electrics in the office, can we? Well, no, but... And then there was never, ever an undertaker there, was there?
The Careers Day, no.
But I thought the other day...
Sturdy profession.
That is...
Dead-end job.
That is a solid career path.
Yeah, it is.
That is a stable
career. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
You're never going to have to market yourself.
And also, you'd never run out of clients.
Ever?
Never.
No.
People are going to keep dying.
I've got one question about that. Now, obviously...
Dying?
No, about funeral directors.
Because
obviously, there's not like just one big company, there's loads, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Now... You know, like, say you want, I don't know, a holiday. If you pay for a 3-star hotel...
Right, where's this going?
You get certain things. And if you pay for a 5-star hotel, you pay more money, you get more stuff.
Yeah.
Now, what is the tariff differences between a funeral director's?
Well, no,
and what are you paying for that's different?
Well, imagine it's like going to a car dealership. They'll be the premium.
Yeah, what is that? What
well,
is
it's
different
like
coffins?
Yeah, full wood.
Yeah.
You know, nice coffin.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Nicer flowers.
No, flowers separate. Right.
Nicer dressed people carrying
yeah,
the coffin.
Yeah, nice car taking the coffin.
Yeah,
also, it
car.
Might be size of coffin. It might be like one size fits all. Do you know what I mean? Like feet hanging out for like the real budget ones.
Lovely, okay.
And like just generic, like no sort of... just as or like maybe it's like...
Cardboard box.
Maybe it's like a coffin that they sort of... The cheap one, it's actually quite a nice coffin, but it's just reused.
Do they, what I mean?
So how get, do you reuse that?
Well, they get to the if you've paid like the lower premium, like the bronze package,
right?
They sort of they do carry you, and it all looks nice. It's got brass handles on it. It's just when they get to the graveyard, they just tip you out
like and a wheelbarrow.
Excuse me, this coffin says Bob on it.
Plus, like the premium ones, they also throw in somebody at the back of the chapel or church who presses play on the tape player.
Okay,
and that's so, so, you know, they can play the theme to Titanic or something.
Whatever,
you know, whatever the chosen song is, because a lot of people like that these
Makes
days.
Sense.
We do forget how close we are to death, though, I think. Mm. It's around us all the time. We're just protected from it, unlike a lot of other countries. Yeah. People are dying all the time. We just never see it. I was chatting to an undertaker not so long ago in the pub. And he said to me, he goes, you just don't realise. He goes, often when people die, we don't want to cause a panic, so we just sit them up.
What do you mean?
Like, so the police...
Where?
So the police have the numbers of all the undertakers, right?
Yeah.
And so they sort of, they can't, obviously, they can't, you have to, like, share it out to all them, because it's a public service, isn't it? And that's a paid service. So they have all the numbers, and they sort of share them out evenly, the dead bodies.
That's fair, yeah.
Because they're making a bit of dollar on that.
Yeah.
So the police ring up, he goes, I get the call. He goes, yeah, there's a guy that's died... in, like, the local pub.
Mm. So wouldn't it be the family who are responsible for this?
Well, no, because there's a body, isn't there? There's a body that needs to be collected.
Oh, OK. We're talking
the family aren't going to do that, are they?
Just in suspicious, you know, just in cases like that.
Yeah, if it's non-suspicious circumstances, then, yeah, the undertaker's got to go and pick the body up. So he goes, gets called out. He goes, often, if I get somewhere, sometimes I get there before, like, the ambulance or someone knows me or calls me. He goes, we don't want to cause a panic, so sometimes it's best just, if they're definitely dead...
Right.
Sit them up.
Sit them up?
Just prop them up. Don't
what do you want? And just pretend they're having a nap?
Yeah, don't cause a scene.
Jim's hardly taking a sip of his pint tonight. Yeah.
They do it on...
Just like putting your arm around him and like lifting the glass to his mouth.
They do it on plane. They do it on planes sometimes, though. If you're on a long-haul
flight...
Like
a ventriloquist. You're right, Jim.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, if you're on a long-haul flight and
somebody
dies, and they're definitely dead...
God...
Do you know what I mean?
Put sunglasses on them.
Yeah, put, you know, the sleeping mask. Just pop that on.
That's dreadful. But I can imagine that happening, to be honest.
Because it would freak you out, wouldn't it? It would freak me out.
I brought some interesting facts with me about death today, actually.
Oh, lovely.
Cheery. Cheery. There we go.
Driving while texting kills 6,000 people annually in the US alone.
Not surprised.
Okay. Hippos kill 2,900 people a year.
A year? Hippos? Yeah.
They can gallop at 18 miles an hour, and a lot of people have underestimated that.
They really are hungry, hungry hippos, aren't they?
That is incredible.
Do you mean?
Almost impressed by that stat.
So, yeah, but it's the classic thing, though. Never judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, they're beasts, aren't they?
Autoerotic asphyxiation kills 600 people a year.
No, you say it kills like it's a disease. They've killed themselves.
Yeah.
That is depriving the brain of oxygen, which gives a person sort of like a dizzy high feeling. However, a bit too easy to kill yourself doing that. You're balancing on the edge, aren't they?
I always think like right afterwards, if you say you haven't died,
So you're talking from experience here?
No.
All right, okay.
I'm just saying like afterwards, do you like catch yourself in the mirror and just think, what? Do you know, you look at yourself and you've got, I don't know, like rope round your neck, your trousers around your ankles. Mm. Like, it went successfully, you didn't die.
Just move the mirror.
You accidentally look at yourself in the mirror and you just think, oh, what am I doing here?
Yeah,
what am I doing myself here?
Yeah. My grandparents looking down.
Imagine
there.
What my grandparents could see.
Imagine
right
what
now.
My grandparents would
say
right
if they
now.
Just saw you here right now.
You never realised quite how close you were to death every single night. How many people do you think in the US alone kill themselves by falling out of bed every year?
Oh, okay. How many people in America? Like 400 million?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go for falling out of bed.
2,500.
No. I'm going to go for like 600.
450 people.
Oh, that's quite
every
close.
Single year.
That's still a lot of
just
people.
Biggest risk from living in Russia? You might think it was the government, but it's not. It's icicles. 100 people a year.
Okay, yeah.
Icicles?
Yeah, because they're like javelins. They fall from buildings.
And will kill people.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know, I can see that. That's a horrible way to go, isn't it? Horrible way to go.
You might always want to be on your guard as well. From ants from now on, 30 people a year killed by ants.
Haven't you got an ant infestation in your
I
place?
I haven't. It makes me nervous now. They said often people fall asleep near a colony, and by the time they wake up, they go into anaphylactic shock from all
anaphylactic
the...
Anaphylactic shock.
Anaphylactic.
Who's anaphylactic?
No, it's anaphylactic.
Oh, right.
Yeah, anaphylactic shock.
Ants? Really?
Yeah, just all of them suddenly biting you, getting in your throat.
No wonder Dex sleeps with
especially
one eye open.
Especially it's like a bullet ant as well. anyway, the final one I will leave you with, and this is one that, you know, you wouldn't be ready for this. Do you know what I mean? I always think to myself, if you're going to die, you'd always have like a...
You'd be ready for the ant one, wouldn't you?
There'd be a sense of something's about to happen, like hippo running, this is bad.
Yeah. Accelerate and move away.
Get into bed, hold on. This is high up.
Yeah.
Vending machines. Every single year, vending machines kill 13 people.
No, how? That's ridiculous. How are they killing people?
Obesity.
People shaking them for snacks.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Shaking them. Greedy, lands
greedy
on them.
Little fuckers shaking them for snacks. If anything, Darwin sort of had a point there, didn't he? Natural selection.
That is natural selection.
Yeah, natural selection. Obesity culling itself there.
If you're trying to get some Skittles out of a vending machine, you kill yourself, you probably deserve not to spread your Skittles. Do you know what I mean?
Just on the tombstone.
Yeah.
Freddy, greedy little fuck.
Died doing what he loves, shaking for food.
He wouldn't be fitting in the one-size-fits-all coffin, would he?
No.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.